Welcome to this episode of SMP Stories. I'm your host, Director of Training, Ryan Coyman. And with me here today is Raj Chenaru in Greenville, South Carolina. Welcome, Raj.
Welcome, Ryan. Thank you very much for having me on the DEI podcast.
So, Raj, how long have you been with SMP?
So this May 18th, I'll complete 8 years with SMP. And this August 16th of 2023, I'll complete 7 years in Greenville facility. So earlier, I was recruited in the Grapevine facility in May 18th of 2015. So technically, I'll complete 8 years with SMP in this month of May. So
congratulations. So what is your current role? I think you were just telling me before we went on air about some recent changes here. So, you know, what are you doing today?
So my typical role is an application engineer for diesel applications. I support the diesel injectors, Common Rail, HUI applications, 7360, 495 Duramax, Cummins, and then also support the pump side for the HUI side and the Common Rail injector side. Lately, due to restructuring issues, John has given me the role of the design engineer role for pumps. So I support Mexico with design engineer role and application engineer role for injector and pumps in Greenville. Recently in 2023, due to the low volume of diesel, there has been a job change or role change for me. I'm currently working on scrap project for G-Injector, which is currently like $1 million. And we have like divided in two groups and I'm supporting one group right now. But looks like just before this meeting that I had to step into the other team to support because the progress that I'm doing on the other, they said, well, we can utilize your resources. So there you go.
It's always good to be a guy whose resources they can utilize here. And you've certainly got a rich history when it comes to engineering. So for our listeners here who might not know the difference between a design engineer or an application engineer, could you explain the difference a little bit?
Design engineer role is where they would be designing the components and come up with, okay, this is what we want in our injector. Designing a little bit on the diesel side is kind of less because we do the reman. So we design the part that we want, and then we come up with tolerances. And application engineer role is where they would be doing the studies to see which tolerance would work out, design of experiments. And application engineer role is to support warranty analysis, warranty claims, labor claims, go through the highest warranty claim, try to see how we can fix it. And also daily, day-to-day support in manufacturing also. My role is kind of huge. I mean, like back in Grapevine, I was doing the design and manufacturing and the application engineer role. But when I moved to Greenville, it was kind of limited to the application engineer role only. And if they want help or support, I'm ready to get in over there. So, and application engineer also looks at the end product when you have like a good known product from your end of line test. You see if it works on your application or not. So we got vehicle testing. We kind of used to do a dyno runs where we can see if there is any power improvement or torque improvement. Are we close to the OEM specs or not? So kind of an interesting, challenging role.
Yes. In never a dull moment, right? You're always seeking to improve upon it. And you and I worked together a little bit on some of the warranty stuff here and a little bit in your application. So I certainly have an appreciation for what you've done there. And it's been interesting to see just the amount of analysis that goes into that never ending challenge of building a better product, right?
Completely agree with your statement.
And I've also been able to see firsthand just how the team that you're part of, you know, picks out a part number and really refreshes that line and reanalyzes all the processes. And, you know, certainly in a remanufactured product, understanding how you reclaim the product and clean the product and maybe, you know, let's replace this component now, whereas we weren't before, in order to, you know, again, make it a better product there and improve the customer experience as well as reduce the warranties, right?
reduce the warranty is the challenge.
Yep. So before you came to SMP, what did you do before that?
So before SMP, I was working in Westport Innovations. It's a company based in West Coast of Canada, the beautiful part of Canada, British Columbia. I was working in Vancouver. They had an application that uses alternative fuel energy, which is basically using diesel as ignition and compressed natural gas, which is derived from liquid nitrogen gas, liquefied natural gas. So it had a dual system where you would use diesel for ignition, and for the regular power stroke and everything else, it would use the compressed natural gas. It's a very small market, and when I joined in, and then it grew leaps and bounds because they were trying to enter into the European market right when we had our gas prices significantly high. Probably the oil price was around like $150 or $160 a drum. And there was a lot of push from Volvo, from Europe, where they were trying to reduce emissions and come up with a more efficient engine. That's when I was working with Volvo as our customer. And that was my before job. Different challenges, different, you're dealing with two different liquids which have their own challenges, Hemant, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you went from British Columbia to Grapevine, Texas, to now Greenville, South Carolina, right?
Yes, and I can add a little bit more information to it. So before that, I was working in Caterpillar, Mossville, Illinois. We were working for our C4.4 and C6.6, which are the 320D excavators that you see on the interstates. I was working on their fuel system for injectors. And before that, I was a design engineer for Cummins, Columbus, Indiana. So yep. Midwest, and then all the way to West Coast, then all the way to South, and now I'm on the East Coast.
So you've accumulated a wealth of knowledge working for Cummins, Caterpillar, you know, definitely prior to coming here. So where's your favorite place to live? Where's that been so far?
Definitely in Vancouver, but I could not afford the place because the place was ridiculously expensive. Yep. You're looking for a 2,400 square feet duplex house, $3.6 million Canadian dollars, which roughly translates to like $3 million US dollars. No, I can't afford that place, but it's a beautiful place to live in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Personally, though, I'm a big fan of Greenville. You guys live in a beautiful area there and a little bit more affordable, right?
Yes, but the only caveat with Greenville, South Carolina, is it's in top five for the worst allergies. So I have to top up my allergy medicine every day. And I have to increase the dosage every year because it's getting on me, sir.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. So what does a typical day look like? I know you're changing roles here a little bit, but when you roll into the plant in the morning, you know, what does a day look like for Raj?
So last year, if you have asked me this question, it would have been like my EPO projects that I'm trying to launch for SMP, bring in new product for SMP to release, make the manufacturing Greenville. So typical day would be is to go through my project schedule, trying to understand where I'm at and what are my bottlenecks and how can I address the issue. Have like weekly meetings with my team members to go through action items, and we would find out if there is any bottleneck for any concerned person, what is causing this issue to be not to be addressed, and what is causing this project to be delayed. Followed by vehicle testing, which the 6-hour truck kept me always on the toes because you always have to keep an eye on your phone and when the driver would say, hey, we got a problem or something like that. So that, and then looking for labor claims and warranty claims from LIC, see how that issue can be addressed and if it's a customer abuse or is it like process issue or a manufacturing issue, customer contamination, fuel contamination. Those are the typical days. And then John would say, hey, we need to look into the new EPOs. That's when I start spending time trying to understand more about the product, trying to dissect the product to see what we can do, what parts can be remanned, and what parts can be purchased.
Nice. So you had a pretty good mix between office time. It's also unique at that facility because you have manufacturing there, you have test labs there. all that kind of stuff. So you kind of have the best of all worlds out there, right?
Yep.
Good, good. So on a typical day, or in general, who else do you interact with inside of the company?
John, my engineering manager, my design engineer, my manufacturing engineers, Mexico team, I support them. We have calls with them and the other groups that I interact with too. So pretty much everyone.
Right. So that's going to be a little different with working with some of the Mexico team with the manufacturing. It's not like you just step out your office and you're in the plant like you are in Greenville. There's probably a few challenges in the communication there, right?
Yes. So we are trying to get better over it. We had prior engineer that who was doing the Mexico support used to do video calls. So I'm an open for video calls and we share information through emails like video call, and that way it's like a video file. We can look through it and we can say, hey, this is good or bad. So we're trying to embrace technologies both at Mexico and US to facilitate or reduce the bottlenecks that we are having.
Great, great. Well, certainly never ending work, right? There's always always something to improve there.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your story, you know, a little bit about your history or family history, and most of all, what makes you uniquely you?
It's a great question because there's like a lot of questions in that single question.
So yes, I'll try, yes.
I'll try to make a start somewhere. So I'm born in India. I come from a city called Vizag or Vishakhapatnam, which is located on the southeast coast of India. Typical tropical climate. It's like 9 months of summer over there. Probably be looking at 110 degrees right now, even though it's nighttime back home. So it's really hot. We are like close to seacoast too. I mean, we got like 3 miles away from seacoast, 70% humidity. That's my place, where I come from. I'm the youngest in the family. I have a sister who lives in Houston, Texas. She's married and she has two daughters, and my niece are already in high school. I lived with them when I was in Illinois working for Caterpillar, so it was like a closely knit family. But then I started moving around the world. That's when I got differentiated or separated from them. So still stay in touch with them. We have phone calls every weekend and we try to see if we can meet over Christmas or Thanksgiving, because that's the best time that everybody's on vacation and we can go from there. My parents used to travel back from India to US, but they're old so now. So they're like, no, we don't want to travel anymore. You guys can come in. And so that stopped. So for me, it's very challenging to go back to home because it's the amount of travel that I have to do. So for example, if I'm traveling from US to India, you're looking at least 40 hours of travel, and the price of the tickets are not cheap. You're looking roughly $2,000, and that to traveling in economy class. And every time I go to home, I have to get my visa stamped at a US consulate, which right now there is a wait time of 3 to 5 weeks, depending where we are going to the U.S. consulate in India. That's why I pace my visits like every 4 to 5 years. It's not good on my mom and dad's side, but I can't do with my circumstances. So this year I'm planning to go. I got my tickets booked and everything. I'm going to India this year. So I told my boss last year that I'm going this year, and that way he has ample notice. So he was surprised why I was trying to tell him. So, but I told him like I'll be gone for 4 weeks, so it's a long time away from work, and it's not like I'm going on a vacation, I'm just visiting my home country. So those are the logistics and cost for the trip side, but it's always good to be back home, visit my mom and dad and my family members. My current family, it's me, my wife, and my daughter. She's 6 years old. She's going to K-5 class, so she always keeps us on toes. It's never a dull moment with my daughter, so there's always, like, something going on. I mean, so either this or that, and she got some extracurricular activities, like the swimming class and the karate class, so my wife takes it. And I have to give 100% marks to my wife, taking care of my daughter and feeding me, like that way I'm not too much distracted with my daughter activities. And she's trying to catch up with some coursework, so it's 100 marks to her. So.
Good, good. Busy family time. Yeah, that's for sure. That'd be great. Good to hear that you're able to go travel back to India. You able with newer technology like Zoom, et cetera, to keep in touch with family?
So my family history, my mom and dad are certified public accountants. My mom had stopped around when she was like 50 years. She said she doesn't want to take it anymore. My dad still keeps enjoying doing it. My sister is a certified public accountant too. So I'm the odd person in the family with the engineering background. So they always tease me like, you should have been a certified public accountant. Well, there was a lot of pressure for me to become a certified public accountant, but I was like, nope, not going to do that.
Well, you're still working with numbers, just in a little different manner, right?
Yeah. But believe me or not, I mean, I still have that, maybe it's from the genes of the family. I mean, talking to them. So we can talk about stock market. We can talk about PE earnings. We can talk about forward PE ratios. I don't think I can. I mean, I can have a really good discussion with them too. So
good, good. So how old were you when you came to the States? You were graduating?
I was 25.
Okay.
Well, I came to the U.S. and then my first job was at Cummins. Then second job was at Caterpillar. Then my third job was in Canada. Fourth job was in S&P Grapevine. Fifth job is at S&P Greenville.
Great, great. Well, it's mind-boggling to imagine the amount of changes you've seen throughout your life and in your career, right? Going from one culture to another and adapting through those. So when it comes to music, if I listen to your Spotify account, what type of artists are you listening to, or what type of music would you listen to?
It's a really good question. It depends on the mood. Right now I'm listening to an Indian music director of my language. India has like 26 languages, and then they got like in those dialect, in those languages they have music. I can understand 4 languages back home, and one being my mother language, or like the back what we speak at home. Yep. I'm following that music director, and he recently won the Golden Globe Award for Best Foreign Song. And then he also won the Hollywood Appreciation Award. And this song has already been shortlisted for Oscars this year. So that's the song that I've been trying to follow. So
awesome. It's kind of an amazing little tie to home also then too, right? And it's part of your culture.
And then over here, it can be anything. I mean, I can listen to all those hip hop songs so anytime. And, depending on the mood. Well, there is very less time. I mean, it's always like either time with my daughter or my wife. So I have very less interval of time over there.
Well, and as your daughter comes of age, I'm sure you're going to expand who you listen to with that as well, yep. Right?
Yeah.
Good. And so if you could, what would a dream job look like, whether inside Standard Motor Products or outside of it, you know, when you sit back and go, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. What is that?
It's a great question. I think if you're trying to know like my future appreciation role that I would like to do in S&P, that I have been always trying to tell John, product manager role should be at Greenville rather than in LIC. That would be awesome role for me where I can start looking at product future line for diesel, gasoline, EV vehicles. I try to see what components we can bring inside to S&P manufacturing, or what components we can list in our brochure and everything else. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's my dream role at this moment. So
good. Any personal goals or recent achievements that you'd be willing to share with the audience here?
Well, I guess everyone role or everyone dream goal is to retire early. So that retire early and spend a buy a beach house and your time off. That's like everyone.
Exactly. Since you've moved to South Carolina, have you been able to go see the coast or see the beach with your wife and daughter much?
We try to go every year, but we could not go last year. So we are looking forward to go this year. So, but it depends on my India trip too, because I can tell my wife if we are going to our hometown or my hometown, we're 3 miles away from the seacoast. So seacoast, I think I'll probably visit the beach somewhere, some part of the world. Yes.
You know, it's amazing what sometimes palm trees and a little bit of water does for the mindset, right?
Yep.
Well, good. Well, hard to believe, but we've gone through almost a half hour of discussions here already. So what are some final thoughts or one of the final things from Raj that you'd like to share with our audience?
A couple of things. I mean, it's great to work in a 100-year-old company. I have worked in Caterpillar, which is like 97-year-old company. Cummins 104 years, but I have never worked in a company that I can participate in a 100-year-old anniversary, which is great. And then interaction with Eric Sills in Greenville 100-year anniversary, where he told my history on how he got me from Canada to Grapevine, then he made me Grapevine to Greenville, which caused the shock in the whole audience. Like, you're thinking about a CEO who can tell about history about a engineer in one facility. I mean, he doesn't need to do that, but that just blew my mind away. So, and my wife too. And my wife was like, oh, your CEO knows everything about you. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's great. Great to hear. So that's one of the fascinating experience. And then Greenville embracing me, coming from Grapevine, the plant managers and the engineering managers embracing me. So that's great, because I didn't go through their recruitment process and everything. I just came with the line. Again, Eric Sills, our CEO, told me like, hey, we are moving our diesel line. It would be great if you can move. And I was like, yep, I'll be ready to help. Those kind of small things, it just creates an impact on someone's career. Wow, those are the things. And how we are trying to embrace DEI in all our facilities, that's a great thing. And how we are trying to make improvements, I mean, in each individual facilities where we keep in touch in emails and see how everyone is trying to do an improvement. So just great. I mean, like, it's a great time to work at S&P.
Yeah, that really does say a lot about our culture, and you're more than just a number. Right. And that's something that it's kind of that family feel here, you know, for all of us. Right. And that you're known throughout the company. And, you know, that's one thing as I've walked through a Greenville facility, even with Mark Payne there, walks through and knows every person by name as we walk through.
Yep.
That's important. So
it's important.
Well, thanks for your time with us, Raj. Thanks for sharing some of your story and some of the insights here. And hopefully the rest of the company gets to know you a little bit more than just the CEO here. And so thanks again for your time. And for the audience, we look forward to giving you more insights on the next story. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for your time.
S&P Stories.